My heart no longer same. So I worship, oh, I magnify your name. I lift my hands in honor and glory to the King. Hallelujah
and
blessings.
Praises
now I bring my heart. No longer your blessings can contain. So I worship.
Praises.
Now I bring my heart.
heavenly hosts will help us sing glorious praises to our King. We can live there from day to day. Heaven is not so far away. Heaven is not so far away. When we sing and shout and pray for our Father lives in here. Jesus' presence is so near. Heavenly hosts will help us sing glorious praises to our King. We can live there from day to day.
the first day of the youth meeting, you know, I'd come down, and I went for a ride, and womanlike, I was going to buy some clothes. So I went up to J.C. Penney. I had the money now, cash and everything. I got inside the J.C. Penney store, and I could not stay. I finally just turned around and walked back out, got back in the car, and I came back this way, and I had seen a sign down here on Brandon that said that there would be a house in a month. Well, I knew that wouldn't work. So I drove around a little bit more, and I know that you all believe in the Holy Ghost, and it's a blessing. As I sat there driving around, there was such a burden on me. And I didn't know where I was going because I was just driving, you know. So I get down here on the other side of the church, and I go down there, and all at once, they had moved the sign. The sign said for rent. It didn't say that it'd be due in a month. It just said for rent. Well, I called, and I could not get any answer. So I thought, well, Lord, you know best. So I called Michelle, and I said, Michelle, there's a sign down here that says for rent, but I can't get any answer. She said, well, Mom, let me try. So she got on the phone, I guess, and pretty soon she called back, and she said, Mom, I know this man. Said he's a very nice man. Said, I used to rent from him. We parted on good terms. And I will never forget that. She said, we parted on good terms. And so I made an appointment to meet with this man from Conway at 2 o'clock. Well, by this time, I had not had anything to eat. So I stopped at Wendy's and bought a sandwich. And time went by, and I thought, now I've got to get over there. So I got back in the car, and I drove back over. And I parked the car in this driveway there on Brandon. And I sat there. And all at once, a vehicle pulled up. And a man got out. And we went in. And right behind me, another man, a very lovely man. And he came in, and he had 4 children. And we visited a little bit, and I told him who would be living in the house. And he said, we discussed, you know, this and that and something else. And I knew the landlord was trying to make up his mind. And the man said, the man that was right behind me, 2 minutes behind me, folks, he said, she was ahead of me. And I had 2 minutes to spare. And I rented the house. And when I told my family, told Nathan and them, they couldn't believe it, how easily God works. I mean, when God takes a rock out of your way, keep walking, because you won't get your tool stubbed. But I'm very glad to be here, and my stuff, a lot of it is still in Springdale. It's all packed. And got back up there, and we had been trying to sell the house that Destra and I had bought. And God opened that way up in less than a month. We sold the house, and Nathan and I and Ned came down yesterday, and we came by and got some stuff that had already come down. And when Nathan hadn't seen the house there on Brandon, and he walked in and he said, Mom, this is nice. And it is nice. It's at a rent that we can afford, and It's so quiet down there. So if you all want to see where we live, just walk out the back door of the church and walk. It's not across the street anymore, but it's just a block and a half on down there and a dead-end street. I mean, God is wonderful. And pray for Dester. He thinks that, I'm not too sure what he thinks. But anyway, well, you know what it's like to be married. You know, you don't always know what your husband's thinking or your wife is thinking. But he really liked it here. But, you know, sometimes you have to do your own thing. You have to be, if God tells you that you should be in the body of Christ, don't let anything or anyone. I had my birthday in June, and I'm 80 years old, and I had a lady tell me 3 days ago, oh, I'd be too afraid. What of? Yeah, what of? But I am so glad to be here, and it's such a blessing. Even my dog and the cat got to come down, and now they belong to Little Rock too.
2 weeks, and a week ago Wednesday night, I went to bed early because I knew I was going to be coming down here working on Thursday, so I didn't come Wednesday night, so I made it pretty good Thursday and Friday, but Saturday's when I washed my clothes, and when I got in a week ago last night, I was just worn out, and I sure didn't feel like washing clothes, so the next day, I was still tired, and so then Wednesday, I didn't have a especially good day. I didn't have a lot of energy, and it was threatening rain, and it wasn't threatening that bad, but, you know, it was kind of iffy, and I said, well, I don't go to church tonight. I can save $10 on gas, so I elected not to come, but I've got to get back in the habit of being here, but anyway, you know, I pulled a Forrest Gump during the meeting. I felt so embarrassed and stupid because I wound up in the ditch back here behind the church on Thursday night. And so I felt so bad until Brother Scotty told me that his wife did the same thing at the same place about a year ago. So I didn't feel quite as bad, but still, that was pretty stupid. I felt pretty stupid, but everything came out all right, and I thank all the brothers that were concerned about helping me, and Brother Fred Stewart tried to get me out with his two-wheel drive, and he couldn't get me out. Thank God Brother Smith, with his four-wheel drive, was able to get me out, so I got on home. So anyway, you know, I could have damaged my oil pan, so God must have been with me to make everything work out all right. But anyway, it sure is good to be here, and, you know, an automobile is a pretty necessary thing. I mean, you know, we have some possessions that are more necessary than others, but Jesus is not against us having possessions as long as our possessions don't possess us. He said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesses. So, you know, spiritual things are the greatest blessings of all. And it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And Paul said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Because back in Paul's day, the pagan religions, a large part of their religion was wine. You know, that's how they got the Spirit was with wine. So anyway, we want to stay spiritually minded. And I was reading the other day about the word love. In the Greek, there's four words. When the Bible was written, there were four words that basically transferred into the concept of love, and the first one was eros, where we get the word erotic. The second one was sturgo, and that's the kind of love like family members have for each other. It's kind of like devotion. And the third kind of love is filio, kind of like a affection between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, or the affinity that two friends would have for each other. And of course, the fourth kind of love is agape, and that's the greatest kind of love. That's the kind of love that Jesus gave for us when he died for us. I mean, not that we loved him, but he loved us. I mean, they said greater love can no man have than he gives his, lays down his life. So, you know, sometimes we probably don't think seriously about what a price he paid for us. And Paul said agape love is the kind that's not out to get, but to give. But Paul said in the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, follow after charity and spiritual gifts. And follow comes from a Greek word meaning hotly pursue, like a hunter pursuing an animal. So he's saying pursue charity, the agape kind of love, you know. And you know what a wonderful thing it would be to be always in agape love, where your enemies, you loved your enemies as much as you loved yourself, and that would be a wonderful spirit to be in. But there used to be a love song back in the 70s by the Atlantic Rhythm Section. It was called I Am So Into You, I Can't Think of Anything Else. I can't think of nothing else. So I would like to propose that Jesus is so into us that he has us, our welfare, more in mind than we realize, because, you know, I may not be around for the end of this thing, but just to be at a time when you can have a revelation that we're in the latter part of the Reformation leading up to the restored church is a wonderful blessing. I'm sure many of you are aware that this year the Assemblies of God are celebrating their 100th year. There was an article in the paper yesterday about it, and they have 67 million members. I mean, they're the biggest Pentecostal group in the world. They have 3 million in America. They have 30 million in Latin America. They have 17 million in Africa. So, you know, you just think, but for the grace of God, we could be one of those millions out there. And here, they think they're getting the real thing, you know, but here we're getting the wonderful truths that cannot be measured in dollars. So so thankful to be here. And I had a friend that called me right the Friday before the youth meeting. I used to work with him, and he's not a church person, but he was talking about he's divorced, but his 15-year-old son, he's not a church person at all, but he told me that his son was going to he's 15 years old, goes to a Pentecostal school, New Life, I believe it's probably over in North Little Rock, because he lived in Sherwood. So his son was telling him that his son goes to church once in a while. His son was telling him that the preacher said, if you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. So he's probably talking about the burning kind of hell. But, you know, it's good at least that he emphasizes that, because I understand some Pentecostal groups now, they just say that's just an added blessing. It's not necessary, but at least he believes it's necessary. So we're so blessed to be under this ministry and to have Brother Smith. I think we're so blessed to have him, because he has such an understanding. He says we haven't tasted of the power of the world to come yet, and yet when I see Brother Wright speaking on the DVDs, it seems like he thinks we have already tasted of the powers of the world to come, because he said, if you've tasted of the powers of the world to come, that's God's ministry. But I think Brother Smith is right that we don't taste the powers of the world to come until we see the Spirit demonstrated, like the power of God demonstrated, like it was in the book of Acts. So this is a great place to be, and you're wonderful people, and I couldn't be more happy anywhere else.
Well, it is a great place to be. It's a privilege to be in the house of God. And I was visiting Brother Durham before service. We really have a simple way of approaching the Scripture. We try not to complicate it with philosophy or some sort of vanity. We try not to complicate it with programs, and it does get a little complicated sometimes with historical references and so forth. But essentially, our intent is, does it align with the Scriptures? What does the Word of God say? And it puts us, at times, it puts us at odds with our brethren, our Pentecostal brethren, our Christian brethren. It sets us apart. And that can be a challenge. It can be a real obstacle. You know, when you're visiting with somebody, you're talking, you know, there's, I know growing up myself, I grew up in a nominal church, First Baptist there in Bentonville. You know, it was easy. You know, a lot of folks I knew went to First Baptist. You know, a lot of the kids I went to school with went to the same church I went to. I went to Sunday school with them. I went to church camp with them. And so it was easy. It wasn't, you know, it's just, we were all Christians. It just wasn't, there wasn't any conflict. But when I met this people as a teenager, started seeing, you know, and gaining an understanding, heard about the gift of the Holy Ghost, which I'd never heard of before. When I heard about the gift of the Holy Ghost and went to receive the Holy Ghost, while I started finding out there was kids in my school that had the Holy Ghost. That was interesting to me. Kids that I had went to school with my whole life that were in different Pentecostal churches. And, my eyes just got open a little bit. I started seeing, well, these kids, you know, I knew they didn't go to my church. But I didn't think about where they went to church. Come to find out, you know, I learned and I went to the same school my whole life, K through 12th grade. So there was like 200 of us that knew each other from, you know, the time we were, you know, carrying in our little sleeping mats and brown bags. You know, I'm talking about like 10th grade. No, I'm just kidding. Time we were little kindergarten kids all the way up through to the time we graduated from high school, we knew each other. But there were several kids, young people that I knew that I learned later, you know, some of them were Pentecostal, some of them went to Church of Christ, some of them were Baptist, Episcopalian, Catholic. And, it was a real eye-opener for me as I began to change in the way I approach Christianity. Whenever I was a teenager, I've told you this before, I always felt like I needed to get saved. Every time the preacher preached an altar call, I was there. I was always ready to say the Lord, the sinner's prayer. Accept the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. Well, when I heard about the Holy Ghost and then received the Holy Ghost, and then began to get an understanding and began to study the Word of God and begin to get an understanding of some of the what I've learned since then to be mysteries in the Word of God, then I began to carry my Bible school, and it wasn't, I want you to know this, and I, right or wrong, I didn't carry my Bible to school to preach to kids that I went to school with. I didn't do that. I wasn't one of those guys that stood by the flagpole. I wasn't one of those guys that wore Christian on my shirt sleeve and, you know, walked around preaching at other people for the lives that they were living. I didn't do that. But that being said, I did carry my Bible with me to class, and when, you know, there was a lull or whenever I had my homework done or whatever, there was, the Lord had placed such a, an interest in my heart for the scriptures that I would read it. I was trying to understand what it was that I was hearing in church, because it was so much different than what I had been taught growing up as a little kid. And so, you know, naturally, people would ask me questions. You know, they'd ask me about the scriptures and different things. And, you know, I guess I was even in high school when I found out, the distinction between hell, you know, what hell is and what hell isn't. And so people would ask me questions in school and you know, maybe naive, maybe not, but I would answer their questions with, you know, the things that I had been taught. It was good for me. It was good practice for me to rehearse. You know, it's important for you to be able to communicate. The Bible says to always be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. So it's good to be able to rehearse what it is you believe, because it gives you, it's that's a moment of truth. It's a moment of truth for you to hear yourself saying, well, I believe that the carnal mind is the enemy of God, and here's why. And you start working your way through those scriptures. Then you're not just leaning on your preacher or your elders or whoever, somebody saying, well, this is how it is. You're not just leaning on their determined definition, but you're leaning on your own understanding. I don't mean it like in conflict with that scripture, lean not on your own, but you're leaning on the understanding that God has provided you with the scriptures. And so going through school, I recognized that not everybody was as eager to receive truth as I was eager to talk about it. And, you know, of course, all that makes you a little gun shy, and you know, it's easy to get hurt feelings and so forth. And I'm not necessarily instructing y'all on how to witness to people. I know that it takes a great amount of wisdom. But what I am saying is that we're not to be shy about what the Lord has provided us. That this is who we are. And I thought Brother Brett Weininger mentioned that Wednesday night. It's a good point about, you know, holy roller. I actually had somebody call me that. I mean, like a week or two ago. I said, well, you know, we know you're a holy roller. And I thought, you've never even been to my church. How would you know what I do? Well, people have preconceived ideas all day long about who we are and what we believe. And sometimes sometimes it's great. Sometimes it gets you into, you know, certain circles. But more often than not, it excludes us from certain circles. And it makes it hard even for people to come into our assembly and become a part. You know, take for example myself. It was perhaps a little bit easier as a young person. But it was still difficult for me because all my life I'd heard about the devil. I'd heard about heaven and hell. I'd heard about the boogeyman and, you know, all these things, and once saved, all I'd heard about these things my whole life. I'd been raised and, you know, it had been fed to me. And you know what they say, you are what you eat. And that's all right. So, but I didn't have as much, you know, I don't want to say lies, but it's an untruth. I didn't have as much of that to shed off. But people that come into our assembly, they don't know what to expect. They sure don't have an appreciation for even sometimes the way we have service. I was watching Brother Wallace's grandson during the song service. Some of y'all may have seen Brother Wallace raise his hands. I lift my hands in honor when Sister Stewart was singing that song. Brother Wallace would raise his hands. His little grandson would raise his hands. And I can remember the first time coming into the church there and sneaking my hand up and raising my hand and feeling that tentativeness, that reluctance, but yet I still felt that I was still compelled, you know, that everybody else was raising their hands and praising the Lord. We didn't do that as a kid. I didn't do that in a church I grew up in. You didn't raise your hand. You didn't, you know, I don't even know if we clapped in that church. I don't even think we did. And so, you know, and singing, of course, nowadays we have projectors and we have the words on the screens, but whenever I was, the church I grew up in, we didn't have projector systems. We didn't have songbooks either. And so the humor, and you guys laugh if you want to, but some of these songs that we'd sing, oh yeah, we'd make the words up. You know, it was, because if the PA system wasn't very good, you know, like when I'm running it, and they're squealing and stuff like that, then if you can't read lips, you know, you don't know what they're saying. And so you're just kind of ad-libbing, you know, making the words up as you go along. I think it was, I think Eshawn was singing tonight with one of the songs, and I was just curious if he was getting all the words, or, you know, if he's about like me, kind of making them up as he goes along, whatever rhymes, you know. Well, when people come in here, and you know, we had a lot of visitors today, and I'm glad we have visitors, and I hope that they felt welcome. I believe that they did. They had smiles on their faces. You know, I don't know. The Bible says the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved, and we're to entreat strangers. We're to be careful with strangers because we may be entertaining an angel. My son and I, when we went to Springdale Saturday, we stopped and picked up a hitchhiker. You know, and I can hear the, you know, the people, you did what? Yeah, we stopped and picked up a hitchhiker. And I don't know why I felt compelled to do it, but he needed a ride and I had an empty seat, and we were going in the same direction. And I witnessed to the Lord. You know, a hitchhiker, that's a captive audience. And so I talked to him about the Lord, and I don't know. God knows. You know, I'm casting my bread out, you know, and leave it for the Lord. The ways of God are not necessarily the ways of man. And so we entertain strangers and we try to be gentle and entreat them and make ourselves available to them. And I thought Brother Brett mentioned that also. We're here to serve. We're here to serve. And Brother Roar, didn't he do a good job today in letting us know that it's not give so you can get, but it's get so you can give. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, as you have freely received, freely give. And so that's what we're to do. We're to give as unto the Lord. We're to give of these words that we've learned, we're to give of these songs, we're to give of the joy that's been planted in our hearts, we're to give of our testimony, we're to give of, the love that we feel in our lives. We're to continue. We're perfecting this art, if you will. We're perfecting this desire in our life to share and give and grow and develop this wonderful gift of charity. Praise God. Didn't you enjoy the band tonight? The band and the spirit, you know, the spirit that just moved in. And you know, it's, we have a wonderful facility here at Little Rock. You know, I dare say maybe even the envy of many people. We've got a nice facility, and I thank God for the people that have worked and labored here before us and provided, you know, and opportunities to maintain and improve. And we've got a nice gym, a nice complex here, but you know, that's not, you know, there's a lot of churches in America that they wish they had, you know, a lot of churches in Little Rock wish they had a facility just like this, and they think, oh, if we just had a gymnasium, if we just had a bigger sanctuary, if there's churches, you know, I've been in a lot of churches didn't even have a kitchen or a dining room. We opened a church up in Bethel Heights, We opened up this church in Bethel Heights. Brother Maine, Brother Leniger was overseeing the church. We didn't even have a dining room. We had a, Gladys, do you remember the first fellowship meeting that we had there? I know that we had a dinner, but I don't think we cooked there. I think we just brought it all in, potluck. We had a fellowship meeting, first fellowship meeting there, and the building was, I think at one time it was for a car auction, maybe one time as a cabinet shop. We were so excited, though. We got this great big building and went in. It's totally, I don't remember how big it was, but, you know, maybe it's 60 by 100 or something like that, and went in and didn't have but one bathroom, and we went in, threw up some 2x4 walls and drywall, and hung suspended ceiling, and jackhammered the floor, and put in some plumbing and some bathrooms. And Brother Daniels, we took that what was a car garage, and turned it into a church house, and we were thrilled to have it. We still didn't have a dining room, but you know what? We didn't let that hold us back. We just used what the Lord had provided. And so we look at churches like this where you got a full dining room, seat I don't know however many hundreds of people, and full kitchen, and place to plenty of room to wash and clean, and maybe with a little envy, a little starry eyed, maybe someday we could have something like that. And eventually the Lord provided, and we were able to build a dining room there, and even a baptistry. So there's churches in that little church, we didn't even have a baptistry. Well, we've got a fine baptistry back here, and it's nothing to fill the baptistry up with water and beautiful background, you can have a great baptismal service right here in Little Rock. You know, you get somebody on a piano singing, what was that song Brother Rohart told us about? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. You can get somebody on a piano and a fireball preacher and fill that baptistry up with water, and there's no telling what God might do. And we were sitting there in Lowell. We didn't have a baptistry, trying to think, how could we put a baptistry in? You know, is it, what are we going to do? Baptize in a pond, or go rent a hotel and use their pool? Or how are we going to do this? You know, and you improvise and make do. And I've heard of people getting baptized in water tanks, and I've been baptized in a lake. People get baptized in the ocean, in creeks and ponds and probably other places. Well, we figured out a way to put a baptistry in the floor and then cover it back up. Worked out perfectly. I think the campground has a baptistry like that. It's my recollection. In fact, I've been in it. I have been in it. There was a year that at the campground where I don't know how many young people got baptized. I think it was over 100, maybe close to 100 young people got baptized at the campground, 20-something years ago or more so. So whether you got a baptistry or whether you don't have a baptistry, whether you got a dining room or whether you don't have a dining room, whether you got air conditioning or whether you don't have air conditioning, whether you got a fine band like we have here or whether you just got somebody, thumping a guitar, whether you got 100 or whether you got 10, whether you got a paved parking lot or gravel parking lot, ladies, they don't like that gravel parking lot. That's hard on the heels. There's all these things, that we perhaps take for granted and perhaps we don't. But the thing about it is, the Lord, whether we have those things or whether we don't, even if we did have all those things, had the finest building in Little Rock, had every amenity, everything that any church would ever want, that's still not the end. That's still not the pinnacle of our faith. That's still not going to get us to heaven. There's churches here in this town that got us beat, you know, in many different categories. And you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't fit in those churches. You know, there's churches in this town that have programs, and you know, they could take a young person, or you know, whatever, you know, anybody had interest in the ministry, they could take them and they'd put them through school and they'd train them up and they'd prepare them and they'd be, you know, they'd, as soon as they graduated out of their seminary, they'd automatically have a place for them. They know how to train their band members. They know how to train their staff. That, you know, there's, and I'm not saying those things are bad. What I am saying, though, is even in all that, that's still not the end. I do think training's important. I think it's very important. I think that learning how to work in a church, Brother Smith said in our youth meeting, if you want God to use you, you must first serve Him. If you want God to use you, you must first serve Him. And so I think all those things are important, but I recognize that those things aren't the end. They're not the end of the salvation. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he was dealing with, he was dealing with the folks there in Corinth, and he was talking about how that he came to them in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, "Brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of..." He said, "Not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now notice this verse here, this next verse. He says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." You know, if I'm not careful, I would have despised the Apostle Paul. If he had walked in and a frail man, you know, a weak-looking man, timid, you know, he said he came to him in weakness and fear and much trembling. If I'm not careful, I would have thought, who is this guy? And why should I listen to him? You know? He said, "My speech and my preaching, it was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now notice this next verse, this fifth verse. He said, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He said that your faith should not stand in how big your church is, or how many amenities your church has, or how well educated your preacher is, or how grand your band is, or how magnificent, you know, your rotunda is. I think Brother Mark Boyd gave us a good talk. I think that was Wednesday night, mentioned that. And I'm not criticizing him, but the Apostle Paul, when he came into him, he was saying, look, don't put your faith in how grand your organization is. And you know, a lot of people do. And that's why it's hard for them to turn loose of those false, unbiblical lessons that they learn in their life, because they put their faith in the organization. They put their faith in that system. They put their faith. They marveled. And you know, the Bible says that people marveled after the beast. It's going to be fantastic. I'm telling you, folks. The religious system in this world is going to be something to marvel at. And a lot of people are going to follow the beast. The Bible says straight is the gate, wide is the gate. That's the way of the beast. That's the way of false religion. Wide is the gate, broad is the way, and many go in. But then it said straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and many few there be that find it. It doesn't even say they made it in. It just says that they found it. You know, it's one thing to know that you should love, like Brother Fleming said, that you should love your enemies as much as you love yourself. It's one thing to know it. But it's a whole different set of rules to do it. It's one thing to know it, but to put it into practice, to find that gate, to find that narrow gate where there's no room for the flesh, and to be able to pass through it, whew, you're going to have to shed the flesh. You're going to have to shed off all these things that are that you know, hold personal. You're going to have to be able to lose all of that to walk through that gate, that straight and narrow gate. Said broad is the way. And so we know that it's hard for people. It's hard for me. It's hard for people that comes in this church and is here for 15 or 20 years, and sometimes they still can't sell out. Sometimes they still can't sell all that they have and buy the field. The Bible says that, I've mentioned this already, that the carnal mind is the enemy of God. Well, Paul, he works on this a little bit. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let your faith be rooted tonight in what God has done for you, the truth, the revelation, the Spirit of God that He's planted in your life. Let your faith be rooted in God and not the power of men. Because men will fail you. Churches will fail you. Organizations will fail you. God will not fail. He said, howbeit we speak among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a mystery. Why is it a mystery? He said, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Well, what was that that song, the band song tonight was, we worship you in honor and in glory. He is the Lord of glory, but why? What makes Him the Lord of glory? What makes Jesus so great that He should be honored like that? Bible says, and I think maybe even Brother Fleming might have mentioned the scripture, he said, no greater love hath a man in that he would lay down his life for his friends. He didn't hold anything back. He didn't hold anything back, did he? He came through, he didn't hold a place for himself. He didn't hold his own honor in higher esteem than the salvation of his friends. He didn't hold anything back. He said, Lord, he did pray, not my will. He said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, let thine be done. He is the Lord of glory. And so he said, but it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, a lot of people stop right there with that scripture. They say, well, you can't know what God's... They stop right there. Well, the reason it's not entered into the heart of man is because man can't understand it. Man, by nature, is selfish. Man, by nature, is me first and others second. Man, by nature, doesn't even consider God whenever he's doing something. Man just does it and then deals with the consequences. But God's nature isn't like that. When we're born of God's Spirit, we put, in our mind, we put Him first. We make Him the focus and the center of our affection. And so we can know these things. He said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, yes, your nature cannot comprehend what God is going to do for His people. Your nature can't comprehend that. Your self, you know, your will, your selfishness is going to kick in. Your me first is going to kick in. Your own wants and dreams and desires are going to take precedent. But my Lord, if we can get outside of our spirit, if we can get inside, get in the Spirit of God, and we can begin to search those things and be led by the Spirit of God, thank God, we can begin to understand the deep things of God. I think maybe Brother Souders might have said this. I know I heard others say it, that it remains to be seen what God would do for a man or a woman that is totally led by the Spirit of God. Wow. Think about it a minute. You know, just imagine being able to know how to meet, being able to understand the needs of the person sitting beside you and having, meeting the condition so that God could just use you without fear or favor, where you were just a vessel, where you were just, I think the Apostle Paul said that you were just clay in his hands, to where I'm not there, I know that. I'd like to be there. I'd like to be there. He said, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of man? This is a lesson here that he's given these people. He said, what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? You know, you've heard that saying. It's a woman's intuition. Well, why? Because she's a woman. Right? It's a mother's intuition. Why? Because she's a mama. She knows these things. How does she just knows these things. You know, you get these feelings. Mom and dads, they get these feelings about things. They and say, well, how did you know? Just trust me on this, okay? You know, sometimes you just can't explain. How do you know these things? Because it's your nature. And I'm not saying that those things are bad at all, but that's how you know. And he was giving them a lesson. How does man know the things of man? He knows them because the spirit of man dwells in him. Now, the lesson here is, he said, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Or he could have said, but by the Spirit of God. If you want to know the things of God, you've got to get in the Spirit. If I want to know what God is doing, I've got to get in the Spirit. That's why it's important to have a good man. Right? That's why this setting that we have tonight helps, don't it? It helps to come in and feel, you know, we don't have anything holding us back here tonight. We got waters to swim in. Where the environment, the air conditioning, the lighting, the seats are comfortable. If we needed to have a baptismal service, we could do it. If we wanted to worship in the Spirit, we're able to do it. We've got a good band. We've got talented musicians. We know that those things aren't the end, but they're a means to the end, and they're to help us. They're a catalyst to help get us into the Spirit of God, to help propel us. I think Brother Liniger said one time that it's like having rocket fuel. It's like getting a booster, if you will, of being able to just to come in and have a, you know, just get a little inspiration in the Spirit of God. Praise God. And so when you can get in the Spirit of God, he said, how do you know the things of God? Well, you know them through the Spirit of God. And so he said, for now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Oh, my Lord, that scripture, that caused me to stumble a little bit. The Bible says that he that lacketh wisdom, I think it was James that said that. It said, if any man lacketh wisdom, which God giveth abundantly, he said, let him ask it of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, he said here, he said these things that we're seeking, he said, they're freely given unto us. Are you lacking something today? Have we forgotten? Have we forgotten where to go for our answers? Have we forgotten how to find the answers of the questions in our life? Have we forgotten? Is it so simple that we just overlook it? Have we become so sophisticated in the way we do things that we've forgotten how to seek for the answers, how to pray, how to get in the Spirit, how to worship in the Spirit and in truth? Is it so mundane or so common to us now that worshiping in the Spirit just feels ordinary? My Lord, I could tell you this. Whenever I needed the Holy Ghost, whenever I received the Holy Ghost and the Word of God began to become alive to me, there were times in my life when I couldn't worship enough. There were times in my life when I couldn't feel the Spirit of God enough. Oh, there was times when I didn't want to stop. I would say, Lord, I just didn't want to stop speaking in tongues. I didn't want to stop praising. I didn't want to be disturbed. I didn't want anything to interrupt my worship, my time with the Lord. Oh, my Lord, there were times that I knew that I had God's attention when I was praying, and I could just bear my whole heart to Him. And whatever was hindering me, whatever was causing me problems, whatever was giving me trouble in my life, I could just tell Him about it. And I knew He was listening to me. Hallelujah. Oh, shalabashatanai. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. He said, we've not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the Spirit of God. And we've received these things that are freely given to us, which things we speak, not as the world, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Oh, my Lord. You can't explain the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can tell people about it. You know what they say? What's the old saying? It's better felt than tell. How long has it been? How long has it been since we had one of them services where everybody was just laughing and carrying on in the Spirit of God? How long has it been since we've been burdened as a people that we just had to press through the flesh, press through the clouds of darkness, press through the clouds of confusion, press through all the things that were hindering us, press through our tired, aching body, press through the cares of life? How long has it been as a church since we've collectively pressed through the flesh and touched the Spirit of God? My Lord, that's who we are. We are holy rollers. But we're not holy rollers. We're not out there in the power of man demonstrating, you know, I've seen them. I've seen preachers on TV. I've seen things like that, you know, and maybe that's what turns some of us off. Some of that, you know, they touch them and they, you know, knock three or four people down and stuff like that. I don't care for none of that. That doesn't impress me at all. That's not what I'm desiring whenever I talk about worshiping in the Spirit of God. But I tell you, I don't want that to cloud my judgment. When they call me a holy roller, it's not because I'm out there trying to impress somebody like I am a holy roller. I'm a holy roller because I'm seeking something that only comes from God. And can I explain it? No, I can't hardly explain it. Does it look foolish? Yeah, it looks foolish. I appreciate that. I understand that. Is it difficult to comprehend? It absolutely is difficult to comprehend. Paul said when you speak in an unknown tongue, he said you're not speaking unto man. He said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. Praise God. And he's speaking things that cannot be uttered. Woo! My Lord, when you get in touch with God and you begin to get a communication, a dialogue, one-on-one with Him, and you begin to talk to Him, it doesn't matter what language you use. Hallelujah. When you know that God is listening and hearing your cry, you can be speaking in gibberish. You can be speaking in Klingon for all God cares. How about that, Brother Keith? He don't care. He don't care. It doesn't mean anything to Him. French, Spanish, Italian, Chinese, Japanese, German, Russian, English. It doesn't mean anything to him. It's just noise. It's just noise, if you will. The Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. Woo! Hallelujah. How long has it been since you've been able to just pour your heart out to God and tell him, God, I don't like this. Or God, I'm feeling bad. I miss Brother and Sister Weininger tonight. God, I'm feeling bad in my body. Or I got a problem. I don't know what to do. I'm confused. I've got circumstances I don't know how to handle. Wow. You know, God wants to hear from you. Not man's wisdom. That's what it's talking about, lean not to your own understanding. Not man's wisdom. Lean on him. Lean on him. Lean on him. You know, if you start leaning on him, you're going to, before long, it's just like gravity. You know, gravity holds us here on the earth. There's a power that God has put into place. It's the power of the Spirit of God. And you start leaning on that more than the spirit of the flesh, it won't be long. You'll be rising above your problems. And you'll be communicating with the Master, the King of Glory. You'll be in communication with Him, and He'll be hearing your heart's cry. Wow. Whew. And He'll be doing things for you that nobody else can do. That's what's amazing to me. If that makes me a holy roller, fine. Fine. I'm going to tell you something. I need God's help. I need His wisdom. I need His Spirit. He said, for these which things we speak not in the words with man's wisdom, but in the Holy Ghost, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. What that means to me there is, it's not saying, oh, I judge you like I judge you and sentence you to 20 years hard labor. That's not talking about that. The word there to me, I would use the word understandeth. It said, he that is spiritual understandeth all things, but he himself is not understood by man. Man cannot understand a spiritual person. The carnal man cannot understand spirituality. It's impossible, because the carnal mind is the enemy of God. It's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. It can't. It's a lost cause. The carnal man does not understand spiritual matters. That's why we have to get out of the carnal man. That's why we come to church. That's why we worship like we do. If we just wanted to do things on a carnal level, we could do it. Churches have done that for years, Brother McGowan, but that's not who we are. We're not here to do things in a carnal way. We're here to do things in a spiritual way, and the way to do that is to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah! He said, for who knoweth the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. If you want to feel the Spirit of God tonight, you can. If you're looking for the mind of God in your life, you can find it, thank God. If you're looking for answers in your life, you can find them. Praise God. I'm not saying that I've got the answers. I'm not saying that anybody here's got the answers. What I'm saying to you is that God will speak to your heart and give you direction. God is not the author of confusion. The confusion in my life didn't come from God. The confusion in my life came from the carnal ways of man. God brings peace to my life when I seek Him. I encourage you to do the same. Praise God. Aren't you glad? I mean, it's wonderful. We have all these things available to us. We have a great congregation, a great church, a great facility. We have a great band. We have wonderful preachers and leadership in this church and song leaders, band leaders. We're blessed. We're told we are blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. I think Brother Roark put it today. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, God. They may call us holy rollers, but it ain't. We're not doing it for the show and the demonstration and all the you know, impressiveness that goes on. You know, we're not doing it for that. No. We're doing it because we need answers. It's like Brother Souders. You all have heard that told about him. Sitting there on a boat, humble man. I guess he was maybe in his 40s at that time when God called him to the ministry. He'd been a number of things in his life. He wanted to be accepted. He wanted to preach like everybody else preached. He wanted that affirmation. He wanted people to pat him on the back and tell him that he was doing a good job. And he's sitting on his boat, you know, and all them people were around him, and he had been preaching the messages like everybody else had been preaching. And, you know, he felt that stirring inside of him. He said, "What do you want me to do, God?" And before he knew it, he was repeating God's words so audible that the other people around him heard. He said, "I want you to preach my gospel." You know, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That was his desire. He just didn't know how to. He just needed that tip. It was his tipping point, if you will. That's what he just needed, that inspiration, that encouragement. And the testimony goes that the men in the boats around him, he's a fisherman, the men in their boats around him, they said, "Poor Will, he's done lost his mind." They didn't know. They were judging him. They didn't understand him. They didn't understand the things of God because they were carnal. The carnal mind can't judge or understand the things of God. But here Brother Souders went on to preach a message of charity that unity that inspired and lodged in the hearts of thousands, maybe millions. We're children of that message. They thought poor Will had lost his mind, and he went on to inspire some of the greatest men I've ever met by his willingness to surrender to the Spirit of God. Brother Talley, I wish I had that in my life. I do. I wish I had that willingness in my life to say, "Lord, here am I. Whatever you want me to do, send me." It's a great sacrifice. I admire Brother Smith, and I'm praying for him, praying that his trip is safe and prosperous. And I can't even begin to imagine, you know, the worry sometimes, but he probably just has to put that on the shelf. He probably just has to take that part of his life and the business and things. He probably just has to set that aside and say, "Lord, it's in your care. I'm working for you." If you haven't prayed for him, you need to. You need to lift him up in prayer. And Sister Smith also, they're carrying a great burden. And it's not a burden. And people think that if anybody was to think this, it's not a burden that you can just set down. Do you know preaching, singing, being used of God is not a burden that you can just set aside? Some people do it. I've seen them do it, but they're miserable. I've tried it. I've tried to just, you know, that's for somebody else. Let somebody else do that. Just let somebody else take care of that. When God gets his hand, when God starts writing his love letter in your heart, and he starts instructing you, you can't escape it. You might as well surrender to it. Praise God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. You might as well just yield your life to him. "Lord, here am I. Send me. let use me according to your will and for your glory. Praise God. Aren't we happy to be in the house of God tonight? Amen, amen, amen. Thank the Lord. Praise God.
Some things hidden there. door. And as the two of us walked in, I was so ashamed. His light revealed my hidden sin. But when I think about that room now, I'm not afraid anymore. For I know my hidden sin no longer hides behind that door. There was a place in my heart even I wouldn't go. I had some things hidden there I didn't want no one to know. But he handed me the key with tears of love on. two of us walked in. I was so ashamed. His light revealed my hidden sin. But when I think about that room now, I'm not afraid anymore. 'Cause I know my hidden sin no longer hides behind that door. I had some things hidden there. to make you clean. Just let him in your secret place. Is there a place in your heart? Even you won't go. You have some things hidden there. You don't want no one to know.
If we'll just humble ourselves, if we'll just humble ourselves, God can bless us in a mighty way tonight. But as that song is talking about right now, there's secret places. But you got to be willing to open up. You got to be willing to give God the key and say, Lord, Lord, I'm opening those doors up to you, Lord. I want to feel that Spirit. Oh, God, I need that refreshing. I need that cleansing. What are we here for tonight? What are we here for? We're here to lift His name up. We're here to worship Him. Don't hold back. Take everything out of your mind right now. This is for everyone, not just for the youth, not just for the young, for the old, but it's for all of us, whosoever will. But you got to be willing. Break down those walls tonight. Come on up. Come on up toward the front. We all need this. We need this as a church. We need this streak. I'm just asking you now. Lord, I feel it all over me. I feel it all over me. I couldn't be quiet. Lord God, we need Him. We need Him more today. We put so much in front of Him. We put so much before Him. Lord, I'm asking you to, with me tonight, put it on the altar. God, I want that closer walk. That closer walk. This isn't an outreach to just the young. It's to all of us here tonight. Oh, God, what do you want tonight? Do you want that closer walk with Him? Do you want to break through that barrier? Do you want to speak in that unknown tongue? Do you want to feel that Spirit? Oh, God, all you have to do is reach out tonight. Just reach out to Him. Oh, God, I want it, Lord. I want it. It's here for us all.
Things hidden there. You don't want to. even you won't go. You have some things hidden there. You don't want no one to know, but he's handing you the key with tears of love on his face. One day I let my Savior in. There were so many rooms that we'd visit now and then. But one day he saw the door. I knew the time had come too soon. And I said, Jesus, I'm not ready. Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? It's good to feel the Spirit of the Lord, this love and comfort in our hearts. Hallelujah. You can remain standing. We'll have service here Wednesday night, prayer meeting at 7, and service at 7:30. Invite you to come out and pray. Pray with us. Pray for your families, your friends. Pray for your ministry, for this church. For the body of Christ. Praise God. I pray for Brother and Sister Smith, Brother Smith and the Dominican, Sister Smith bearing the load here. And pray that he'll have a profitable trip. Brother and Sister, Brother Scott and Sister Amy York, they're planning to go to the Travelers this Saturday. And there's a flyer out on the window out here on the front door. Tickets are $8 a piece. And Brother Scott's hoping to get a group together that they could go ahead and save some seats. So you have to pay in advance to do that. There's going to be a singer concert afterwards. What was the gentleman's name? Say it again. Danny Gohey? Gokey, that's right. And I guess he's was on American Idol or something like that. And as a Christian man singing, he'll have a concert afterwards. So if you're interested and you'd like to go, please get with Brother Scott York. He'll be making preparation for that. And then also be mindful that the convention center meeting's coming up at the end of this month. It centers around Labor Day weekend. I think it starts on Saturday morning, Saturday, Sunday, and ends on Monday. So you want to be mindful of that. Isn't it good? Isn't it good to be a holy roller? Isn't it good to feel the Spirit of God? That's what I'm talking about. Praise God. Let's just give the Lord a praise and let Him know that we love Him. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for this wonderful blessing, this Spirit of God that we feel, Jesus. Oh, be with us. Go with us. Keep us this week, Lord. Help us on our jobs and in our school, in our work, in our home. Help us on our journey, dear Lord. Be with us and let the Spirit of God touch us and give us inspiration. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help all those that are sick tonight, Brother and Sister Weiniger. Help Brother and Sister Crow, dear Lord. Those that are afflicted tonight, touch their body. Reach down your loving hand. Be with Sister Fisher tonight, Lord. And Brother Fisher, as they prepare for this new baby that's coming, Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. Oh, God, we love you, Lord. We give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good night, everybody. God bless you. Have a good week.